Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Gerda, you're on the air on Dr. Joy Brown.
Thank you, Dr. Joy, for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two grandchildren. I have a grandson is 10 and my granddaughter is 12. My issue is that I get upset when my daughter does everything that the 10-year-old boy wants and not the 12-year-old girl. And this has been going on for a long, long time. And I think I have done the same. When she was younger, she had an older brother, and the brother was, so to speak, catered to more than she was.
Yeah.
What is my...
your role
how
here.
Can I correct
yeah.
that? How, yeah.
Well,
what, how can I correct
it? I mean, understand, it's very likely if the dynamic plays out that your son-in-law favors your granddaughter. So that's how it quite often plays out in families, is the mom favors the son and the father favors the daughter. So it kind of equalizes out on some level. But I think you've got a very powerful argument to say, look, I did this wrong, and I'm seeing you do the same thing, and I wish I hadn't done it, because I think you and I would have had a better relationship. Let's back you up a little bit. Why do you feel that you've... I mean, I believe you, because I think it's a hard thing to admit to. Why did you think that you favored your son over your daughter?
Well, in, good question. Gee. This is probably a long story, but to make it short, she was always more independent, and he was actually more independent, but I kept him stuck, sort of. And then there was a divorce, and I sort of took him, not as a confidant, but as I was hanging on to him more.
Yeah, you leaned on him a little bit more.
I leaned on him more, yes, yes.
Is there a divorce in your daughter's family?
No. Okay. Actually, I asked my son-in-law, I said, Michael, I need some advice because of languages. I speak a second language. And I said, would it be okay if I speak that second language with your children? Well, he pointed to his wife, to my daughter. Well, she should make that decision. Like, he is not really getting involved in their education.
No, that isn't, that, no, no, Gerda, no, that isn't what he was doing. That isn't what he was doing at all. What he was
saying was,
I'm not going to get in a battle between you and your daughter.
Okay. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, he was saying something very different. Yeah.
Okay,
listen,
good.
Gerda, look, let's divide this into three separate parts. One is, I think you, and you may have done some of the work here, there's probably a little bit more to be done about why you favored your son. The second is, how do you deal with your daughter about this? But more importantly, how do you deal with your daughter, not with respect to her parenting, but with respect to your parenting? And that I think, is the more crucial issue of the two. Because without it, you're never going to get to the other one. But going to your daughter and saying, you know what, I made a mistake. When I was, you know, I think you legitimately grew up with the notion that I favored your brother over you. And it's not that I loved him more. It's that I depended on him more. I made him the little man, you know. And I think you probably felt left out. Two things. First of all, and most importantly, I would like to redress that with you. I would like us as adults to figure out a basis, not as mother and daughter, but so you feel that I appreciate you, I approve of you, I love you, in a way that I think you probably didn't feel as a child. And I regret that, and I want to redress that. I also want to redress that. One of the reasons this came up for me, and it's a painful revelation for me, is watching how it seems to me to have been replicated in your family, in your family dynamic. And
okay.
I don't want you to have the same conversation with your daughter in 20 or 30 years than you and I are having now. So I would like not so much to be critical of your parenting as critical of my parenting and figure out what
okay.
you and I can do, what I can offer you at this moment. I can't undo the past. I can regret it. I can learn from
okay.
it, but I can't change it. But I would really like to be a better mom to you now than I was. But I also would love, in the process of doing that, for you to not have to make the same mistake I did, which is in, you know, 20 or 30 years, having to apologize to your daughter
yes.
for not being as good a parent as I should have been. And I would focus on
yes.
that, because I think that is the core issue, not so much how she parents,
but
how you parent.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay.
I have one more question. You have time
okay.
for one more question?
Yeah.
It is her birthday in 2 weeks. And I asked what she would like to do and what she would like. She became very angry, and I don't remember what she said, but she, like, didn't want anything for her birthday. And I asked my daughter, what would you like to do on your birthday?
Right.
I think that's what I did ask, but it's in that content.
Okay, let me suggest a different way of doing it. I'm not, you know, I don't know, angry. I mean, I think we're better off to say to somebody, especially with whom we have a difficult relationship, I would love to do something special for you for your birthday. Here are some options. Do any of them appeal to you? Because
okay.
I think we get just as disconcerted with the women in our life as we do with our men, where they say, what do you want to do? What we really want is that somebody's put some effort and thought into doing something special for us. And so I would just, look, Gerda, this is going to be the beginning of a process of you establishing a more convivial relationship with your daughter by admitting that you didn't do a great job as a parent. And that'll get her attention in a way that nothing else has, because you're admitting something that she feels. And it's not easy to do as a parent, but it's the beginning of how we redress that. Okay?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Joy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Gerda.
Okay, so this is actually the object lesson in response to the earlier email that says, you know, you said that to deal with a narcissistic parent, that what you need to do is just grow up. And I'm saying that's not exactly it. It's that you need to figure out a way to neutralize it, not necessarily for their benefit, but for your own, so you're not left holding a nasty bag. And this, with Greta, is exactly the issue. I'm not sure that her daughter would have viewed her as narcissistic. Maybe. I mean, because it's sort of the catchword. That's the newest way of saying to somebody, we don't like them, is, well, you're narcissistic. And there may be some genuine narcissists around. There are people who are probably incapable of empathy. But there are probably more people who, it's not that they're not capable of empathy, it just that never occurs to them. It's not that they're incapable, they're just focused someplace else. And you can see in this particular case that she was focused on one child over the other. And that doesn't make her narcissistic. It may make her less than an ideal parent. And Americans are probably the only country in the world, and Canadians maybe, that feel that parents should feel equally about all their kids. I mean, for most of the world, the first child, especially if it's a male, gets everything, right? They're patrilineal societies, that the first son gets everything. He gets the title, he gets the land, he gets first choice of everything. The oldest daughter has to be married before any of the other ones. So the notion of equality with kids and feeling the same about all your kids is curiously American and maybe Canadian. It's really not part of the rest of the world. That in most of the world, the ultimate extreme, which we're going to talk about in about 15 minutes, is in China with the one-child policy, where live, healthy girl children are either abandoned or killed, because in a society that only allows one child, a male is much to be preferred, because he'll take care of you in your old age, as opposed to a girl who'll go and take care of her mother-in-law in her old age. So this notion that somehow all the children should have equal access and should be liked equally and loved equally is first of all, it's not a very accurate look at human behavior, if you want to be really honest about it. But it is something that we as a country invest in, and as a result, you can hear, I mean, not only from Greta's call, but, you know, my discussion of my adorably chauvinistic father. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
Did you know that drinking pure, high alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
With Dr. Joy Brown. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Kate, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. How may I help you?
Hi, Dr. Joy. Thank you for talking to me.
Sure.
I am looking for some strategies to help me deal with anger at my ex.
Okay. How long has he been your ex?
About... Oh, wow. I'm nervous and I'm not thinking well. 8 years.
Whoa.
And we have a daughter together. That's why.
How old is your daughter?
She's 11.
So you've been apart since she's been 3?
Yes.
Whose idea was it to leave? Yours or his?
Mine.
Why?
I was really unhappy. And it was...
That goes without saying, but what specific... I mean, you don't ask people to leave when you're thrilled with them. First of all, it was a long time ago. Second of all, you asked him to leave, so what was he doing that was so obnoxious? Were the two of you married?
Yes. And, I was really depressed, and he wasn't around, and when he was around, he wasn't really there. And it just fell apart.
So were you angry with him at the time and it just hasn't abated, or it's
no.
the anger a new phenomenon? Give me a little bit of...
It's new. It's not new because I've been dealing with it for years, but it's all about dealing with things since the divorce.
It's all about what since the divorce?
Dealing with things that have happened since the divorce.
Like what?
Like, it's all about our daughter. Well, not all about our daughter, but a lot of it is about our daughter and setting up visitation and,
Does he visit or not visit?
He does. She sees him every other Saturday.
Does he pay child support?
Yes.
Okay. So, what is he doing? Has he remarried?
Yes.
Does he have
children? He remarried pretty quickly, yes, and he has a 4-year-old.
Okay. So, are you feeling that your daughter doesn't get as much... Well, obviously she doesn't get as much attention from him because he doesn't see her as often. What specifically are you angry about?
Specifically, I am angry... It doesn't take very much anymore to set me off because it's just been so long, but... I get angry at, I feel like he manipulates our daughter, and I feel like he manipulates situations and...
Give me an example.
An example is this past Thanksgiving. Our visitation is set up so that our daughter goes there every other Thanksgiving, but it's just from Wednesday night until Friday morning.
Okay.
I wanted it to be for the whole Thanksgiving weekend, but he just wanted Wednesday to Friday morning, so that's what we did. And this Thanksgiving, I asked again, how about if we do, she's with you the entire Thanksgiving this year, and next year she's with me, and he said no, he didn't want to do that. So that means she's there from Wednesday night to Friday morning, and then again from Saturday afternoon until Sunday afternoon, which I thought was silly, but I said, okay, we'll do it that way. So then...
Well, one of the possibilities, it sounds a little unreal. How far away from him do you live?
2 hours.
So does he manage the transportation?
We meet halfway.
Well, Kate, let's just look at this example. My guess is I'm going to give you a homework assignment because I think that your anger is a bit diffuse, and my guess is that the triggers for it are not the least bit diffuse, but you're so used to just this great veil of fury that you're not very much in touch with it, and I think it's going to be much more, because I really want you to leave after the phone call with a sense of relief, and I don't think we're going to get there because I think it's too diffuse right now. But let's just look at this particular example. You're saying Wednesday night to Sunday, And he's saying, no, we're only going to do it Wednesday night to Friday morning. Then you have to come pick up the kid. Then she comes back Saturday. Well, one of your options is to say, no, you know, I'm not going to do it that way. That either she is with me for that weekend. It's too much travel for me. It's too much travel for her. It's too upsetting. So that either you have her just for Thanksgiving and you don't have her that weekend. You have her for Wednesday night through the weekend, or you don't have her at all. And you know, then, I mean, you don't have to be so compliant just because this is what works best for him.
No,
you're allowed to say no.
It's in our court agreement, though. So if
what's
I say
in the,
no.
What's in the court agreement?
This visitation schedule.
That specifically Wednesday to Friday morning?
Yes.
Well, why did you agree?
So I shouldn't have agreed to it at all.
Well, one of the possibilities, that was, what, 8 years ago. You can go back, presumably, to court, your daughter now being 11. And, I mean, certainly, how does your daughter feel about it? It would seem to me that the strongest ally is probably your daughter saying, you know, I don't want to do it this way, Daddy.
She told me, because it became it became ridiculous. It goes on from there. And so we both talked to her about what she wanted, and what she ended up telling me she wants, what she really wants, is for us all to be able to have Thanksgiving together.
Well, of course she does, but that's, I mean, and if that's okay with you, that's fine, but you don't ask an 11-year-old what they want, because then you talk about being hostage, both of you will be hostage. Look, let me give you a homework assignment here, kiddo, because I hear that this is... I use the word diffuse. What I want you to do is I want you to get a paper and pencil, and I want you just to write down anger at the top. And then I just want you to just vomit out all the things you're angry about. All right? Don't try and make sense of it. Don't try and make it an essay. Don't try and make it anything except everything. All right? And then what you need to do, because you're going to get the weekend to do it, is pick through that stuff and see if you can find a pattern. If you can't, I probably can. Because otherwise, what we're going to do, you're going to feel really frustrated at the end of this, because you and I can look at any particular issue. Because on this one, I mean, the possibilities are saying, look, we agreed to this years ago when she was a very small child and really couldn't tolerate being away from home longer than overnight. You didn't want to take care of a small baby. She didn't really know you that well, but we're now 8 years down the road. This is not very viable anymore. Let's come to an agreement, or you could take him to court, or you could have your daughter petition him. But my sense is that if we do that, you're going to feel very frustrated. And I don't want you to feel that your anger isn't justified, because you're entitled to whatever feelings you have. But I need you, now you've broken the ice, you know I'm not going to abandon you, you know you don't have to be afraid. So sit down, do the work, we'll get you on with Manny, I can put you on first thing on whatever hour you want. But just throw up all the stuff about anger and let's go through it together so you actually feel better at the end of a phone call and not awful. All right, I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Well, it's that time of the week where we do It's Broken, Let's Fix It. We look at broader issues than the ones that you folks call in on a daily basis about. Today, my guest is a little unusual because she's an actor rather than a playwright or the subject of a documentary. But her name is Jennifer Lim, and she plays Sunny in a terrific production called The World of Extreme Happiness. It is set in China, in modern-day China, and in a situation where I'm just going to list some of the issues. And then, Jennifer, you can tell me what your experience has been, probably having absolutely nothing to do with this except as a character, but we've got, first of all, the one-child policy in China, and we'll go back over these. We've got coal mining going on, which I actually was invited to China, and they said you can't come after September or October because you'll end up having lung problems the rest of your life. You've got a huge peasant, basically, population moving into the cities to work in factories.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, because you've got sort of a younger population and somewhat disenfranchised, and that you've got a huge kind of self-help subculture as well. Now, the reason I thought this was terrific, other than for just sort of looking at other culture, is it seemed to me to resonate a lot with what's going on in America in 2015 with the immigrant population. So let me just start with you as portraying this. And sort of tell me what your stance on all this has been.
We did a production of this. It was a co-production between the Goodman Theater in Chicago and the Manhattan Theater Club here in New York. And we did this play in Chicago last fall at the Goodman. And since then, you know, we had a couple months off, and Francis, our playwright, went away and did a lot of rewrites to try to sort of condense the story. What were the
nature of the rewrites, just out of curiosity?
It was a lot of trimming. I mean, we went from a play that was that ran for about 2 hours and 15 minutes with an intermission to what it is now, which is an hour and a half as a one act.
Yeah, which I think works much better. God bless you all.
Yes, it does. And I think one of the main things that Francis wanted to focus on was this journey of Sonny, this migrant worker. And you know, it was a lot of sort of, there were some structural changes within the play, but there was a lot of internal cuts that happened to just really sort of condense and clarify for the audience so that they can just hook into Sonny and her story. I mean, she's packed a lot into an hour and a half, as you know from having seen the play.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that she has to say. You know, I think the inspiration for this piece was very much based, you know, on her interactions with some sort of literary dissident writers in China, as well as, you know, I think some films and documentaries that she watched. And then there was this one book called Factory Girls by Leslie T. Chang, who was a former correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, she wrote this book that basically where she follows over the course of like 3 years these factory girls, you know, and it's a fascinating book, and all of us in the cast had to read it, because there was a huge, extensive list of research that we all had to familiarize ourselves with before we started the process, before we started rehearsals.
Well, no, were the director saying that? Was the director saying this? Was the writer saying it? Who said, look, you have some homework?
Both of them. I mean, both of them were sort of, I mean, I don't know whose idea it was. I think they were sharing with each other resources, you know, that they had come across
right. When
they were prepping for rehearsals. And I think they decided that it would be really great to share it with the cast as well, so that when we started this play, we were all in the same world. And I mean, even throughout the rehearsal process, there was a lot of research being done. We were all assigned projects and presentations to give.
Right, what was your project?
Well, mine was to sort of research and look into rural wedding ceremonies and wedding practices.
And what did you find?
A section in the play about the ghost marriage. I actually came up with a lot of images. I mean, the thing is that it sort of varies from place to place, from village to village. And because of the Cultural Revolution, where so many traditions were sort of gotten rid of, you know, like what we're left with today is sort of a hodgepodge, where I think it depends on the family, but they sort of pick and choose what they want to observe, what rituals they want to observe and what they don't. So it was sort of, it was a, you know, a more helpful to sort of provide pictures and images on my end. But I remember one of the actor who was playing Old Lao had a project about the Great Famine. Because he has that great speech in the play where he talks about what it was to go through the Great Famine. And that I still remember as being one of the most powerful pieces of research that was presented.
What touched you about it? What was so resonant for you about it?
You know, I can't recall the exact statistics, but it was just the sheer number of deaths that occur.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a line that Old Lao has in the play, you know, that actually, you know, that compared to the Holocaust, which I think the Western world is more familiar with, you know, the deaths were five times the numbers of I think, lives lost during the Holocaust. And this was, you know, done by Mao.
To his own company. I remember thinking right. that, and I think they actually use that metaphor or that analogy in the play. I mean,
that
we think of the Holocaust as being this, which it certainly was. There's no denying that. But to a certain extent, you can argue that Hitler did this to his own people as well. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
It just was on so much larger scale, and it was much less evident to the outside world, and perhaps even to the world of China at the time. I don't think people actually knew what was going on at the time.
No, because the political machine, the publicity machine was, you know, so strong, and you know, it's only I think like in recent years that China has sort of admitted that the Cultural Revolution was not actually a good thing.
No.
that it's actually become politically okay in China to criticize Mao and the Cultural Revolution. But, you know, of course, during that time, that was, you were not allowed, to say.
Absolutely. One of the things that really struck me, as I said, when I saw the play, is how similar Sunny and her friend are treated by the people by managers, that they were peasants, that they were second class citizens, that they had no right, that they could be bullied, that they could be intimidated. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's sort of, I mean, from the perspective of the character, you know, and in terms of
sure.
my work, it's, you know, I think one of the great things about this play and the characters that are in this play is that it's always number one priority is to survive. It's about survival. And, you know, I think these migrant workers, in my research, and all the reading and the documentaries that I watched, you know, this new generation of migrant workers are leaving the rural areas to move to urban areas, and they all have different reasons. You know, for some of them, it's to move to the cities to find work in factories to support their families back home, where there is no work. For some, it's about, you know, sort of grasping opportunities and wanting to come and get away from their families and get away from tradition. And then also, you know, something that I read recently, an article about China and the migrant workers there, is that there's also this sense, and also through some friends that I talk to, actually, who visit China quite often. And another trend is actually, and this is not dissimilar from the character of Pete, who's my younger brother in the play, you know, where they don't, these younger generations, they don't want to continue. That's sort of like the dead end, you know, what's the point of having an education when you can leave and work and make money and experience the freedom, you know. I think for a lot of these younger migrant workers, it would be akin to, you know, those of us in the West, like going to college, you know, to be away from family for the first time, living among colleagues and new friends. And I think the sense of freedom and liberation that brings also is a factor.
My guest is Jennifer Lim, and when we talked, she and I were talking a little bit before we started, and both of us were a little surprised that we're having an actor do this, but now I see why. I mean, you're terrific. You're articulate, and giving the perspective is wonderful. Right, we're going to take a quick break here. When I come back, let's talk about that issue of survival and also being the one-child rule. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY. This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeSurvivalMatch.com. That's FreeSurvivalMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeSurvivalMatch.com today.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Across America, this is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
My gift to Jennifer Lim, who is not only an actor in a great play called The World of Extreme Happiness, in that it's brilliantly done. I never give anything 5 stars, Jennifer. I have a zero. I don't think I've ever given anything a zero. Tempted occasionally, but that just seems too mean. But I almost never give fives, and you guys got a 5. I thought this was It was entertaining. It was funny. It was sad. It was politically relevant, and that's part of why. I mean, if it was just a great play, I would just review it and let it go. But because it has so much resonance, it seems to me, that 160 million, I mean, think about that, 160 million peasants essentially from the countryside go into the cities to become factory workers, and they're treated very much the way that we treat illegal aliens, because basically they have a very similar kind of status. Let's talk about, because this is not only a look at the younger generation, and the younger generation saying, you know, this isn't the life I want, I'm educated, specifically the one-child rule. Tell me about that and how that affects Sunny and how that affects, I mean, presumably that's a really terrifying thing. There's certainly a lot of situations in which you don't want to be a woman, but this one is particularly terrifying.
Yes. Well, this was, I think it was introduced back in like the late 70s, early 80s, this one-child policy. And I'm not quite sure. There are certain stages to this policy, because I think when they first introduced it, it was in direct response to, you know, there just being too many mouths to feed, you know, and this is China's sort of very blunt way.
Well, it was ZPG. I mean, a lot of countries did it. They said no, you know, zero population growth. And it was, in most countries, it was that you could replicate yourself and each of you, that there were a mother and a father, so you could have two children. But China was so overburdened, and as you say, coming out of the Great Famine, and they just couldn't feed everybody, so they said one child.
Yeah.
Keep going.
But the difference is, I think, from what I remember, is I think in the rural countryside, families were allowed what they called 1.5 children. So if the firstborn was a girl, you were allowed to try for a second one. But the problem with that...
So you could get the valuable one.
Well, but the problem with that was, you know, then all of a sudden these rural families, instead of having to feed one mouth, they'd have to feed two. So as you saw at the start of our play, you know, the play sort of starts and you find out within the first five lines that actually Sonny's parents, they killed off four baby girls before Sonny was born. And the only reason why Sonny survived was from a complete fluke, you know, a sort of act of fate, you know, when the father sort of lifts up the slip button and then finds the daughter still smiling, and he takes it as a good omen, you know, and so she saved that. And then, you know, a couple years later, they have Pete. But it's this sort of, it's one of the things that I think really changed, you know, China, in what led to the sort of increased, you know, rural-urban migration that happens in the country. There's the one-child policy, and it changed the agricultural workforce also in the country, I think. And it was firmly implemented. I mean, I don't think there are statistics that talk about exactly how many babies. I think there are estimates, but, you know, I would imagine that for every baby that they discovered was killed, there were probably four or five.
And now you have to remember, these are perfectly healthy babies who go to full term.
Oh, perfect.
And they discover that she doesn't have a penis, and in Chinese society in general, sons are the ones who take care of their parents as they get older.
Yes.
They move,
yes,
that women move to the son's household.
Chinese saying, yes, there's a very famous Chinese saying that says, you know, when you have a daughter, because when your children get married, having a son brings in another family, because when he marries, then the daughter comes into the family and then takes care of the parents. But if you have a daughter, you're basically raising her to give away.
Yes.
To somebody else. You know, and also, just in terms of like agricultural labor and stuff too. Sons are all.
Well, and what China is now facing is the idea of there are no marriageable girls, women, for men to marry, because they essentially that it turns out statistically that the number of men, the number of male babies, the number of female babies are basically the same at birth. And that males survive a little less well. So 51%, it turns out, of all live births are females. So if you take a society and say, all right, we're not going to let any of the girls survive, then you're running. Then where do you get the wives from? Where do you get the women from? And the answer is they're not. So and this is China is a very xenophobic society. So the idea was that the Chinese marry Chinese, there are no women. So as a result, there are a huge number of Chinese men who are coming, for example, to the States to find Chinese women. And, of course, an American woman, American Chinese woman, is going to be raised very differently than a woman who was raised in China to be respectful
of
her husband.
Well, and these are also Chinese men who have money. Because I feel the things that I've read about in recent years is Chinese men who don't have money then turn to countries like Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos. And, you know, and it's,
and these people have historically been enemies with one another. So it becomes very, very complicated.
It does. It does. And there's this huge numbers of, like, reports of, like, domestic abuse happening, you know, where they're basically, sort of, you know, the equivalent of mail order brides. From countries that are doing less well than China.
So, now, were you born, are you of Chinese descent?
My father's Chinese. I'm actually half Chinese and half Korean. My mother's Korean and my father's Chinese.
So,
but I grew up in Hong Kong.
So was this play revelatory for you? How did it strike you as somebody who at least partially comes from this background?
Well, it was revelatory in the sense that this is the first play, sort of American play, English language play that was set in China about the Chinese people. There's no Western lens in this. And in that sense, this was very different from anything else that I'd ever read or worked on. But in terms of, you know, what happens in the play, it was all sort of familiar to me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the first time I picked up the script and I read it, I was absolutely intrigued because I was like, wow, really? You know, this is a lot to pack into a play, and she really goes there. The playwright really goes. I mean, she finds a humor in it, but she also goes to those really dark places. But I love that she's able to sort of flip it in a way that reflects, I think, you know, what I mentioned earlier about the Chinese, you know, sort of propensity to survive. You know,
yeah, there is
a very sort of Chinese part of the Chinese psyche.
Well, and I think, you know, those of us who are here forget that the immigrant experience is seldom a vacation. It is survival. It's people who feel that there are no options where they are, that they can't feed their family, that their needs, that this is a necessity. This isn't sort of a whimsical choice. This is a necessity. Jennifer, you've been terrific. Please go and see her. Is this an open-ended run?
No, we close March 29th.
Okay, so get your butt over there and go see it quickly. It's the World of Extreme Happiness, and I'll give you a clue. It isn't, I mean, that's somewhat of an ironic title, but go see it. It's theater at its very best. Jennifer, you're wonderful. You've been terrific today.
Thank you
so much. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Did you miss a show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at Dr.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendovite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your image close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall
between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Walland Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Walland Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Walland Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.